Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 287 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvett.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's season-ending loss to Iowa. And that's about it.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals at cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. All right, Justin, how negative do you want me to be right out the gate?
You don't need to be negative. How about light banter for a minute?
Okay, how's this for light banter? It's been 9 years, and I feel like nothing has changed. 9 years of this podcast, and here we are having this same conversation.
Whoa, Mike. Did you get much snow last night?
Anyway, yeah, it snowed.
I almost changed the podcast from Husker Volleyball and Soccer Fan Podcast to Husker Sad. Instead of Husker Pod.
Here's the thing. Volleyball's great. Soccer, it's great. You want to talk about wrestling? I think our bowling team did some cool stuff a few years ago. That's all great. But I like football. I want to talk about football.
What?
The it's question is, so why sad do you to like talk football? About football.
Hey, did you watch a lot of football yesterday on Saturday?
No. I
was gonna say,
over it,
I didn't
man.
Watch anything. I tell me what happened yesterday.
I knew enough about the only thing that really intrigued me was Michigan and Ohio State.
How was that game?
It was kind of a little bit of a back and forth. They were both fighting hard. I think Michigan was gifted a touchdown that should have been an interception, actually. But other than that, just kind of according to the script, you got Michigan, they're staying undefeated. They're all expecting them to run all over Iowa. Here's the interesting thing about that. I don't know if this makes me, this might like alienate me from some people, but I'm going to be rooting for Iowa on Saturday. I want them to beat Michigan.
Definitely alienates you. What's wrong with you, man?
Well, here's the thing. Just the other day I saw somebody and they were showing me some kind of a meme about like how Nebraska reacts to certain rivalries, and they're showing like Texas and like, yeah, I hate them. I think it was like spliced with like clips from the Grinch movie, and showing a few different things. But then when they got to Iowa, they're like, loathe them. And I'm just like, I don't feel that strongly about Iowa the way that I ever did about Texas or Colorado. Like I still see Colorado as more of a rival than Iowa. So I don't know. It's weird.
I agree. I feel like the last several years. So we always go to Iowa the day after this game to be with my mom's side of the family. Mm-hmm. And there's been like the year when they were 12-0, like, you know, one person had on an Iowa shirt because a lot of them live in Iowa.
Sure.
But I mean, I feel like for the past several years, there hasn't even been any heat between us because we're just so fixated on our own mess that like, oh, you're going to chirp at me? I don't even care. So yeah. What?
Oh my gosh. So I have a friend who's a big Iowa fan and he posts about it all the time on Facebook. And he posted something right after we lost to Iowa the other day that just, like, I was almost flabbergasted by it. I won't reveal his name because I didn't tell him I was going to share this. But I've got his post pulled up here on Facebook. And he said, it's been 9 seasons since Nebraska had to evaluate who Iowa is as a program. And this has been the results. Iowa, 81-32. 3 Big Ten West titles, 9 bowl games, 9 winning seasons, 6 ranked seasons. Nebraska, 43-63, no Big Ten West titles, 2 bowl games, 1 winning season, 0 ranked seasons. Iowa, 8-1 head-to-head. Hey, Nebraska, you still evaluating yourself against Iowa?
It is funny because I'm looking at those stats from Iowa, like, I don't, like, that's great. Like, they are really excited about that, right? If Nebraska was sitting at that record, we'd be like, this is great. We want more.
Yeah.
And so not only are we not sitting at that, you know, pretty good level, which we'd like to be at, and saying we want more, right now we're at the, you know, the bottom and looking at ourselves once again in the mirror saying, why aren't we better?
Yeah. So I commented on his post. I couldn't help myself. And I just said, please don't hold anything Ike Horst ever said against Nebraska. It's impressive that you all can hold a grudge against one of the worst teams in the college football world for that long, but we've moved on. I actually had to like rack my brain about like, what is he talking about? We have to evaluate who we are as a program. But I guess that was a sticking point for Iowa fans.
No, I mean, that was fun. I mean, that was like Ike Horst trying to be real diplomatic and then actually saying something that really, really irritated them. All right, yeah. That was a great unintended burn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I'm laughing about it still.
Sure.
And the fact that I think there's probably some real truth to that if it's still bothering him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even like my cousins who actually care about Iowa, which turns out if you're listening, they're not listening. Several of them were at the game. I was like, dude, I live like 2 miles from there and I'm at all the home games. How could you not tell me you were there? I was offended. But one of them, my cousin, young lady, said she got some fingers walking back to the car from Nebraska fans. So that's not cool.
No.
Don't do that. Come on, guys. Be better.
That's not the greatest fans in college football.
Yeah, I don't think she even really is all that excited about football. She was just there because I think her dad took her.
Right.
So I don't think she was rubbing it in anybody's face. So I've had to apologize for that treatment. But yeah. Irritating. Just a whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then the volleyball team loses, which we now know that Wisconsin got a top 4 seed, and it was probably because they beat us. So in the end, I'm not all that shook up that we got rocked by Wisconsin in the second to last game of the regular season. Cause one, that means that they're a top 4 seed. And so if we're going to play them, it's not till the Final Four or the championship game. And two, it's, you know, get some brought back down to earth before you really want to be peaking. Right.
Sure.
So, in my opinion, while would it have been great to have been undefeated? Yes. But this might, in the end, be better for the team. And then the soccer team lost in overtime. It was a bummer. At least one of my friends who lives out there was at the game, said it was great. I got to talk to Marty this morning, and I was asking him, how am I supposed to listen to your games? Because you go to Huskers.com, and the only listen option is to watch on ESPN Plus. So I don't know what that's about. Trev Alberts, I know you are always the first to download our shows, and we always get your comments right away. We know you're a passionate Husker Pod listener, and we know that you want to buy our gear and wear it, but you know, you have professional obligations that don't let you. But buddy, like, why can't we like just get a KRNU student to broadcast live during the games? And even for away games, I mean, have them sit in Anderson Hall here at the CoJMC and just like color or do play by play on the ESPN Plus feed on KRNU, the radio station, and .com. It's not that like, why couldn't I listen to that? That was ridiculous. So, Trev, I know you're going to be angry that I called you out like that, but it'll be okay.
You know, he gets paid the big bucks. So, you know, he's
double the big bucks,
right?
So, Mike, you were at home. I was in the stadium. I haven't rewatched the game. I haven't even really thought about football since the game ended. What was the deal with the timing at the end of the game?
There was a play that was completely untimed. Like, the clock operator never started it, and so I think it was one of our third. I think it was our third down play right before we converted a first down. Because didn't we convert on fourth down at one point during that drive?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's fuzzy. But during our final drive, there was a down that was completely untimed that should have taken at least like 10 seconds off of the clock, which if they had done it properly, even with the interception, it would have made it much harder for Iowa to kick their field goal.
Not insignificant.
Yeah. But man, I'm just over the woulda, shoulda, couldas. I'm over it. Who cares? We should have beat them. Yeah. Like it's the whole 1 second thing
plagued us. We should have at least gone to overtime. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. I appreciated you shared an image. You want to share or talk about the image that you sent me? Because I thought that was helpful.
Yeah, it was just, I think it was Michael Severe. No, it wasn't. It was Jim Rose. He was a radio personality here in Omaha. He had posted a photo of somebody got a snap from a close-up. I think it was from the Omaha World Herald, possibly. But it was a close-up shot of Chubba Purdy, just like you could tell the kid was devastated after throwing that interception. And basically he's just said, like, if you don't think these kids care, think again, essentially. And, man, what a rough go of it. Like, as frustrated as we are, can you imagine being a player on that team and you had four chances to get one more win and it just everything that could have possibly gone wrong to end this season went wrong? It sucks.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go down. I mean, and you talk about going into the off season on a low, bitter note.
Mm.
That is the way to do it. And you know, for a team that's trying to flip the script, those extra practices just would have been absolute gold. But you know what? One thing I tweeted after the game was, someone was saying, what do you do in the offseason to make a change? And I'm saying, you go get a decent quarterback, and who's not going to, and let's say you cut the fumbles in half, because were we the worst fumbling?
I don't know.
Just worst turnover team in the country. I think it was either fumbles or total turnovers.
I think
you
it was
cut
turtle,
those in half.
Total turnovers. Got a little tongue tied.
If you become an average turnover team instead of, you know, nation leading, you win at least three, maybe four more games. Maybe during our season wrap-up episode, we can walk back through and maybe do a little bit more precise shoulda, woulda, couldas. But if you have...
Do we have to?
You know, without Sims in the first couple games, just giving the ball away, and without Harburg throwing a bunch of interceptions in this last stretch, and without Chuba just straight-up dropping the ball, you know... The one potentially backbreaker turnover, didn't they jump off sides and then we blocked the re-kick this week?
Mm. Yeah.
So that could have been critical, but it wasn't. So you like how the offense moved the ball at times? Satterfield towards the second half of the game, I thought we were actually coming on strong. Their offense wasn't moving the ball, and we were starting to claw back the time of possession differential, which was like 4-1 through the middle of the third quarter. And we started to get it back. I don't know where it finished, but we started to get that back towards even. But man, when you're playing a really tight defensive battle right down to the end, that's Iowa's game. Like, that's how they've won most of their games this year. So, it's almost not surprising that
they
it ended the way it did.
Right where they wanted us.
And we let them off the hook, and we kept ourselves on the hook? How's that work?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, are you thinking of, they are who we thought they were.
We let them off the hook.
Oh, boy.
How bad are they going to get? I mean, I hope Michigan just guts them. I hope there's
really
100-0. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm on the other end of this, man.
We got three wins off of a reeling Big Ten West, and we now know, like, the Big Ten West, really bad. Really, really bad. And we got three wins in the middle stretch there, as we talked about last episode. And some teams started to like get better at the end. We plateaued. And if the Big Ten West was even marginally better middle season, you know, we're probably a 2-win team. You know, like, it was really bad. And so for them to be ranked in the top 15 or whatever and go to the conference championship game with their – it's just a joke. It's just a joke. And I hope – yeah. I hope they get totally exposed. And I hope our division gets totally exposed in the aftermath of the final Big Ten West season.
Or – wouldn't it be funny if they won?
Yeah, no, if they won, that would be, I'd feel better about,
I think it'd be hilarious, the
Huskers. That's why Tom Osborne didn't want to have a Big 12 championship game. It's just an opportunity for a championship team to lose and get knocked out of contention.
Right. But here's the thing. I'd like try to follow my logic here a little bit. You are rooting against Iowa, a team that we... It's. I feel like Iowa is a team. I don't love them. I don't hate them. I nothing Iowa. I don't care about Iowa. So why not root for them to beat the team that claims to share a national championship with us? I'm still holding on to that. I'm sorry. My grudge against Michigan is greater than anything Iowa could ever do to us.
I don't care. I just don't care.
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care about either of these teams, but it's an interesting thought experiment because there's going to be football on next weekend and you got to root for somebody, right?
Well, I sit here in my pettiness, not going to a bowl, and I think, who would I rather lose? And you're asking yourself the same question, and mm-hmm. you're saying Michigan and I'm saying Iowa.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
That's fine.
We should have a podcast. We could fight about it. No, I'd rather see them just get totally exposed, and which it'll, you know, just because of the way Michigan is content to pound it and Iowa is content to absorb it and not move the ball offensively and hope for good special teams, like it'll probably be a lot closer than we think. Just because of the style of the team. So I'm sure that Michigan wins by several touchdowns. It's probably a dominant win where there's no question who the better team is, but the score probably won't look too flashy.
Sure. I'm with you on that. I fully expect Michigan to win despite everything I've said. it also does kind of feel like, man, if this season doesn't take Harbaugh down a notch, what can? Like, I think he's going to like rise from the ashes like a phoenix next year and like
into the NFL.
No. I think he's still going to be coaching at Michigan, but I think that he might be unstoppable
next year.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he goes and what he does next.
He is an interesting person. I don't do we pull up stats and talk more specifically about the team?
Do you think about people who listen to our podcast are stats nerds? I mean, like, to a certain extent, sure, but like at this point, people are thinking about Christmas.
Did you put up your tree?
No, not yet.
Who put it's our on the tree docket up this afternoon?
Oh, you did it today.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you decorated it, or is it just the tree is up?
Tree's up and the lights are up.
Okay.
The kids were just a little bit rambunctious, and wife and I kind of ran out of gas with them. Sure. Patience, so.
The way you're describing this, it sounds like you're talking about an artificial tree?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you guys go real?
No. It's been at least a decade, if not like 15 years, so.
It's Swanson family lore. It just came up again yesterday that we used to go with my parents when I was little, go down, cut down a tree.
Sure.
And then one year, apparently, I said, why do we always have to do this? And they're like, we're doing it for you. And I was like, I don't know what I said, but they're like, well, he's not having fun. We're not doing this anymore. So I have vague memories of chopping down a tree.
That's funny.
We've had... Gosh, we've been married for 14 years and we've had the same tree like the whole time. Maybe Maybe not quite the whole time.
That's the way it should be.
It's up. So we'll decorate it in the next few days. And during the game, I was commenting. I can't remember if I tweeted it or if I said it to my wife. But it was kind of like the windy Maryland game 2 weeks ago where you kind of felt like you had to capitalize on scoring with the wind. Mm. And we did get that long 66-yard pass touchdown against the wind in the second quarter. But I think that the wind, if anything, knocked down the ball a little bit. Like, I think it was an overthrow. And Jalen Lloyd was able to catch up with it because the wind slowed it down. And then we scored with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter with the wind. And then that was it until the final play of the game. Mm-hmm. So 17 points second quarter for the two teams. No points in the first. 3 in the third for us. 3 for them. I feel I'm a little bit bummed that we weren't able to get special team stats from SP Plus because I feel like that would have been an interesting journey this year. It did feel like at the end of the day we were, you know, maybe a middle third special teams team. But Bushini was kind of all over the place and Alvano missed some clutch kicks that could have made a huge difference in the last couple games.
Could have made a difference in this game.
Yeah. And well, in Wisconsin, too, he missed one that would have. We wouldn't have had to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
We had some punt return yards this week. Not many, but we also fumbled one that they recovered. We blocked 2 field goals. Awesome. When's the last time we blocked a field goal?
Earlier this season.
I thought we blocked a punt earlier this season, not a field goal. We blocked a field goal, huh?
I thought it was a field goal.
Oh, yeah, we blocked it and ran it back for a touchdown. You're right.
Oh, right.
Was that a,
that was,
that, was,
that
that
was
field
the
goal?
High five. Yeah, that was the
high five play. Yeah, you know, we just needed a few more big plays down the stretch. And I kind of think that if Satterfield could have committed to the between the tackles run game a little bit more, it might have got there, but he knows more. You know, he's seeing more. Maybe he's got a, obviously he's got a different perspective than me. Right. I'd be curious to hear their defense of that.
So do you think Rhule fires anybody in the offseason?
No, like we talked about last week, I don't
still
think so.
Still holding the line there.
He's just, that's just not the kind of guy he is. Now he might have to replace a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got an email again this week.
We did.
Kyle got some response last week, so this week he followed up.
First off, he says, fire Satterfield and our offense into the sun. I don't blame the players at all. I think these kids were doing the best they could. More than anything, this season, what I would say is a plus, like a net positive that we can say, okay, we're heading in the right direction, is for all the discussion that we've had over the last several years about culture and all kinds of garbage, I feel like this team was bought in. I feel like this team 100% was.
No, I think the culture has flipped.
Yeah.
And they won one more game than they did last year, right?
So that is,
I mean, improvement.
Improvement. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they missed on the quarterback, and Chuba was hurt all season is the story.
Yep.
He looked pretty good when he came in. He was a little bit reckless. Maybe if he got more playing time, he wouldn't have been so sloppy here at the end. But he was hurt. But, yeah, so that's improvement.
Yeah. And I do feel like the offense, if everybody stayed healthy, we'd be having a different conversation right now. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Satterfield, I don't know. I don't know enough yet to have an opinion, honestly. It's just, it's really rough looking at the last 4 games of the season and saying, okay, something, it feels like something's got to change, but maybe that's just their scheme heading into next year, you know? So.
Well, I'm not the first to say it, but they're, and maybe he even said it in his email, the starting quarterback's may not be on the roster right now. I think they probably got to go get somebody.
Yeah.
I think Sims is going to go the way of the Amigos Sims value meal.
All right. And then the other thing he said is Iowa was really classless today, from the tunnel walk to the obvious targeting call
that
got
missed. What
happened
in the tunnel walk?
I don't know. And at least one face mask call. That said, our offense was completely inept. The defense and special teams played their guts out and played winning football. We need to, at the very least, hire a QB coach.
I mean, they're a top five defense. So, you know, I don't know that we should have expected too much. I mean, we were pretty decent on third down.
Yeah.
Trying to find that number. I remember at one point we were 50% on third down, which is better than you'd expect. Only 75 yards rushing. But he was 15 of 28, so just over 50%. So, you know, not awesome, but their guy was 11 of 28. Their 280-pound quarterback was a stout dude. We actually outgained them 264 to 257. That's not surprising, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
three fumbles, two lost. That's the difference.
From what I saw, I didn't feel like Iowa was classless. I have been upset.
One of their offensive linemen was blowing kisses at the end of the game.
Oh,
I mean,
well, yeah, that happens.
It's annoying. I don't know.
But I mean, like, I've seen Iowa be pretty petty in the past, and I didn't feel like this was any different than, you know, I felt more miffed when Maryland's players came up and were taunting in the end zone after their game. So
yeah, no, that's true. Also, there was an interesting thing where there was maybe 1 second left on the clock, and so I feel like that made their celebration a lot more subdued, because I don't think a lot of us realized they were actually reviewing the final play for a little while. And I was like, did we win? I think we won. Nebraska's team's like almost all the way back to the locker room at that point. They're doing the midfield prayer. And then the people say over loudspeakers, there is no time left on the clock after the kick. It's over.
Yeah.
So that could have changed things.
Do you still think Nebraska football isn't cursed? There was an interesting post on Reddit yesterday, breaking down the probability of everything that's happened in Nebraska over the last several seasons, and basically saying that, like, if you flipped a coin, like, a million times or whatever, it should not come out this way. So,
well, yeah, if you flip a coin, it's what, like 8-4?
Well, no, I think
because we did it.
There's that. No, but they're talking about like the probability of all the one loss win or all the one score losses, one loss wins. What am I talking about? All of the one score losses, all of the circumstances that have, you know, fallen upon this team over the last several years. I don't feel like looking up the post, but basically they were saying that, like, anybody looking at this from the outside would assume that somebody's got their thumb on the scale, is basically what they're saying. So,
and
so maybe there
is
something
the
to the football curse. I don't know. Maybe we're living in a simulation and they keep running the same thing over and over, trying to see, you know, how many ways that we can
simulation.
Lose in spectacular fashion.
I want out of this simulation.
Yeah. But then he settles on, this is still from Kyle's email, he still believes that Matt Rhule is the right coach in the long run, but he's really starting to miss Bo Pelini right about now. Yeah. It's funny how people still invoke Pelini's name. I'm not a huge Bo lever. I never was. I mean, at least in the wake of his firing, I feel like he left at an appropriate time for him to leave. So when you are daring the administration to fire you, I feel like it's time to go. So
last overtime win.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. I look forward to stepping away from this team for a little while and maybe coming back in January to chat with you and reflect on, I think there is a lot of progress and we don't think a lot about recruiting. I think they filled up their class pretty well and it's going to build, and the Big Ten West is gone and it's a whole new ball game here moving forward, and We gotta get better dramatically. Going to Southern California for a conference game next year, and it's not a neutral site game.
It's crazy.
Hey, did I tell you about how I touched two footballs?
I've told you this, Justin. You have brought this up to me, not on the podcast, but you're forgetting one. You touched three that day.
Oh, but not two, but two game regulation footballs.
Right.
Yeah, listener, I'm way more excited about this than anybody else. But I've sat in the south end zone, pretty good seats for quite a while now, and they always are kicking into the south end zone. I've never touched a football. And I can't remember which game it was.
It was Maryland. I was with you.
Oh, it was Maryland?
Yeah, I was with you.
Oh, okay. And the Maryland kicker just shanked one off to the left. And did I step up onto the bench to try to catch it?
You would remember it better than me.
I made it like kind of a bucket of my arms, and it went in and hit my chest and my arms and bounced out. So I slowed down the velocity so no unsuspecting kid got nailed, but I did not catch it. And then not long after that, he shanked it again, only, you know, twice as high up. And this guy, this adult,
I thought it was a kid.
An adult caught it and he handed it to a kid. And it's like, the kid can't throw it that far. What are you doing? And so the kid chucks it as hard as he can. And I'm watching it. I'm like, you know, calculating the trajectory in my mind. I'm like, oh, there's no way it's going to make it. So again, I step up on the bench and I jump up and I set it like a volleyball and kind of launch it toward the field. And I don't think it quite made it to the field. But yeah. Again.
But you softened the blow for anybody who might get hit in the back of the head.
Yeah. I took some of the mustard off.
Yeah.
And that was within like 2 minutes or 5 minutes or something. It was wild. Yeah. It was at the end of the halftime.
And then, folks, the third ball I'm talking about is we went onto the field after the game and some kid threw a ball at Justin's feet and he picked it up and threw it back to the kid. Yeah, so I was like, hey, you touched a third one, Justin.
I've been meaning to share that on the podcast because it's like the most thrilling thing that
is fun. I still remember the one and only time I've ever caught a foul ball at a baseball game. So I get it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had one other close call this season, and that was the tractor cannon thing where it's got the flatbed behind it that shoots t-shirts.
Sure.
And one, they usually will go over our heads, but one hit the left upright as you're on the field, my right.
Right.
And that adjusted its trajectory and like it started spiraling right towards me and I reached up and the guy behind me grabbed it. Gave it to his wife.
Yeah.
So close to glory.
You got enough shirts.
I got a lot of shirts.
You know what that reminds me of is... sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just signed up for the Lincoln Track Club Black Friday special, which is a great deal, and you should do it. $150 for like 5 or 6 races. And I was picking out my Lincoln Half Marathon shirt, and you can choose between a cotton one or a tech one. And I realize I have so many stupid race shirts that I don't wear, but I actually really like my Lincoln Marathon shirt from 2 years ago, the red one, I think, with kind of the rainbow color inside. I like wear that one a lot, actually. So I was like, I should get the cotton. I've got so many shirts.
Sure.
To your point.
Yeah.
Good story.
I was just going to say I'm reminded of John Rubin. I don't know if you remember who John Rubin is. He was a Christian rapper from back in the day. He, at his concerts, he would always hold up a shirt that literally says, "Who wants a free t-shirt?" And kids would like scream, "Woo, woo, woo." And so he would once at like every show I ever saw this guy, he had shirts specifically printed for that moment in the concert where he'd hold it up, people would cheer, and he'd throw a "Who wants a free shirt to some random kid."
Nice.
So that's a good story to tell, wearing around a shirt that says "Who wants a free shirt?"
Yeah, I got a lot of shirts. I still have a bunch of my high school band shirts. There's in a tote somewhere. Oh, I can't bring myself to get rid of them.
I have donated so much clothing. I might have a band shirt somewhere.
But. And by band, I mean like music, like rock and roll, not marching band.
Yeah. Okay. I actually thought you were talking about marching band, but yeah, both.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I probably still have some marching band shirts somewhere in a bin, or maybe still in my parents' house. Maybe I cleared those out. I don't know.
I remember you wearing your MXPX shirt frequently, where the girl has ripped a guy's heart out of his chest.
And said, "Girls are mean" at the bottom.
Something like that, yeah.
That was a good one.
And then I remember you wearing the Rocket Summer TV Family shirt quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And then...
That was like my style, right?
Yeah, and then I remember you wearing a homemade t-shirt from your friend Hannah that said, "Mainstream is overrated."
Where is that shirt? Wow. I don't know where that one is. The others I could probably find if given a couple hours, you know, which sure. might include driving to my parents' house.
The Copeland shirt I used to wear all the time got destroyed in the wash at one point. It got bleach on it. So I know what happened to that one. I think I might still have that Supertones shirt that I wore around.
Yeah, I feel like in high school, that was, you know, band, rock band, you know, as opposed to marching band or symphonic band. That was my style. And then at some point in college, it probably transitioned to like international like shirts, like because I was traveling in college or whatever.
Okay.
I've thought about this. And then there came a point where I think my, outside of professional dress, of course, it's like more Nebraska. Mm. Got my The Good Life shirt, which actually was a band shirt, come think of it. but it's, you know, it's the sign.
Oh, yeah.
I still wear that one. And now it's a lot of, like, race shirts and still Nebraska shirts. The state, not the football team.
Right, right.
And what that says about my life, I'm not sure. Mm.
I think it just this means that you...
riveting podcast.
You grew up right and now. You're not the same... kid that you were. I mean, you're the same person, but you're in a different season of life.
What's the thing where it's like, if you, whose ship is it where if you replace a plank one by one with a new plank, at what point is it a new ship?
Theseus. Vesuvius.
I'm Googling ship. Replace
of Theseus
plank Theseus. By plank ship of Theseus. We were both pretty close.
Yep.
At what point's it a new ship, Mike? 50%? I'm gonna go 51%. It's a new ship at that
51%
point.
It's a new ship. Well, I don't know. When you think of bands, I think more like when bands, like if as long as the lead singer is there, you can change out the bassist and the drummer and the guitarist like a million times and it's still the same band, right? Mm. Mm. So like there are some parts that are more important
key
parts.
Components, yeah.
Now the question is, what do you consider the most important part of a ship? I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. Like, is it the rudder? We're not ship people. We live in the Great Plains or the Midwest or both, depending on your perspective. Don't your cells completely reproduce themselves and like you have all new cells or skin cells or something?
I heard something like that, like every 6 years or something.
So we are our own ship of Theseus.
I used to be a ham sandwich.
In the spirit of Christmas and the Christmas Carol, I'm not the man that I once was.
Oh, that might be a good way for us to land this plane.
What?
People are posting on Twitter. I don't understand why they're calling it this, but people are saying, "This is my Christmas holy grail." And then they post four pictures of movies that they feel are essential or important to them. So what are your... So I don't get the whole holy grail thing, but like, what are your four Christmas movies, Justin?
Oh, man. Muppet Christmas Carol for sure.
It's a good one.
I don't watch it every year, but It's a Wonderful Life. You just can't watch it every year. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
I was actually, I haven't talked to my wife yet, but it's like, at what point, I mean, there's, you know, themes of suicide and, you know, depression is, I don't know if this is probably not good for my 3-year-old.
Sure.
Probably not good for my 5-year-old, but 7 and 9-year-olds, they could probably enjoy it. I used to have a Christmas Story up there, but it's not. I haven't actually watched it for years, and I'm fine with that.
Wow.
There's Holiday Inn and there's White Christmas, and one of them has blackface, so the other one.
Whichever one doesn't have blackface. That's a,
yeah.
It's a good way to live your life.
what would be a four? You list your four and I'll think of my fourth.
Okay. I thought of my four. I'm pretty, basic when it comes to my choices. A Christmas Story is absolutely number one for me. That was a staple for my family growing up. Possibly even before it was like on the TBS reruns all the time. Just that movie. We loved that. We watched that every year. So there's that. And Ernest Saves Christmas, of course.
Mm. Yeah.
Home Alone is right up there with A Christmas Story.
I feel like the home invasion element, it's going to freak my kids out.
Oh, maybe.
I don't think they're old enough to appreciate it.
It came out in like 90 or 91 for us, so we would have been 7, 8 years old.
Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
Got to have Elf in there. I know some people can't stand Elf, but I think it just hit at the right time, and Will Ferrell was still like a superstar for us when that movie came out, and so I just have fond memories of... I saw that movie for the first time at Q Cinema 9 with a group of friends.
Oh, wow.
Theater that R.I.P. doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. So my fourth is either going to be... Peanut Christmas? What is it? Charlie Brown Christmas?
Oh, sure, sure.
Or Held for Something Fresh. Because you can only... Like, I don't have a lot of patience for watching the same thing over and over.
Sure.
It's kind of a pet peeve.
Here's the thing. I'm separating the movies from, like, the Christmas TV specials and stuff. Like...
Oh.
So, like... Peanuts, Christmas, you know, that's, you know, Charlie, it's Christmas, Charlie Brown, or whatever it's called, Charlie Brown Christmas. That and, you know, Rudolph and the Grinch and all that stuff, those things are mainstays, but I don't really see those as
How
movies.
How about Christmas so. Vacation, is that up there for you?
Yeah, that one's kind of ever-present, but I'm most familiar with the edited-for-TV version, because that's what I grew up watching, so... Yeah.
Claws on Netflix. That's pretty good. I'm just like going through lists now. I never watched. Was it Spirited that came out last year?
Yeah, I didn't bother with that one. It looked like a low effort thing to me.
Oh, a lot of people in my world were really excited about it. So
really? Huh.
They have. Oh, this particular Google search brought up Trading Places as a Christmas movie. Oh. Remember that one? Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, one's poor, one's rich, and they try to make the poor guy rich. And
I know everybody likes to have the Die Hard discussion.
No, we're not going to do it.
But I would posit that Gremlins is a good Christmas movie if you want to mix things up and not just do Die Hard again. Because that movie is set on Christmas, so...
Arthur Christmas is a fun one. It's from Aardman, so the people who do like Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep. We really like pretty much everything.
Did you see they're making a new Chicken Run movie?
I didn't.
It's called Dawn of the Nugget.
The Shaun the Sheep Flight Before Christmas is pretty good. It's kind of an anti... Get off your cell phone is kind of the message of that one, which is a good one.
Well, now you're bringing me into, like, the Mr. Bean Christmas special and stuff.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I've never seen The Grinch with Jim Carrey.
It's all right. It's kind of in that weird mid-2000s, like, Uncanny Valley type of doing makeup and, yeah.
Mike, which Hallmark Christmas movie is your favorite?
I've never watched a single one.
I don't think I have on purpose.
I'm open to it if somebody like suggests like, hey, this has to be the one you watch. I'll give it a shot. But
like this is the platonic form of a Hallmark Christmas movie. Mm. How about The Nightmare Before Christmas? Is this Halloween or is this Christmas?
Yeah, I think you have to watch that one around Christmas time. I feel like that's like for people who are trying to prolong the Halloween magic and let it spill over into Christmas. I feel like
so we watched it at Halloween, and oh, I really? Stand by that. Okay. Yeah.
This I wasn't allowed Halloween. To watch that growing up. My yeah, parents said I probably, it was a no-go for me.
Yeah, I probably wasn't either. How about the Santa Claus? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Wait, are you talking about Santa Claus the movie or The Santa Claus starring Tim the Toolman Taylor?
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yeah, that one's good. I don't consider that. Like, that one's not like a, I have to watch this every year, but...
I think I've only seen Scrooged once or twice, but that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I've seen that one in bits and pieces. Oh, you know what? You brought up the Muppet Christmas Carol first thing.
So good.
Mickey's Christmas Carol. That one, oh, yeah, I really like that one. That one I have some fond memories of watching as a child.
That's like a 26-minute
yeah. yep.
Christmas special, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Christmas Carol?
Oh, wow. I got to go with O Holy Night. But only sung by specific people.
I don't think I can answer that question.
Really?
What did you say? Holy Night.
Either that or Silent Night. I'm just really a big fan of Night.
Are you a big proponent of only singing Advent carols during Advent and Christmas carols during the 12 days of Christmas?
No, I think some people get really on their high horse about that. And I'm just like, okay, no. Listen, we have people telling us, you can't even touch this music until after Thanksgiving. Like, all bets are off once you hit December. So at church, no, I don't think that we got to save Christmas songs for Christmas. We can sing some Advent songs for sure. So, O Come Emmanuel, sure.
But, I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. But, like, no, we can sing O Come All You Faithful at the same time.
Speaking of Christmas stories, did you ever watch the sequel? Did that just come out last year?
Oh, yeah, A Christmas Story Christmas. That one was good.
Was it? I couldn't bring myself. Oh, it's on Max. I don't have Max.
It did live up to the hype. It really does. It is a heartfelt, well-made homage to the original. I think it is worth watching.
Where did it go? I've just been scrolling through Christmas movies here.
Do not mix it up with A Christmas Story 2. That one is hot garbage. Don't watch that one.
I have never seen The Polar Express.
You don't need to.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah. I saw that in the theater because it was the free movie that my dad's company rented out a theater and let everybody come watch. That was fun. An annual tradition for my family growing up was every year we'd go see a Christmas movie.
Now I'm doing what I always do is I'm going over to the Lincoln Library website and seeing what we've got on DVD. Our internet was out for a while. It's back on. And we had to go get, I say had to. We went and got a bunch of kids' DVDs at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like regulating my movie consumption by what I have on DVD because it's just this governor on what you can do. You know, it helps regulate. So sure. you don't have that unlimited stream of whatever.
Right.
That it's a nice, like, what are we going to watch? Well, here's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
We already watched this one twice.
Kids today are spoiled. They don't know what it's like to have like four things on VHS that you just watch over and over and over because that's all you have.
Kids these days, let me tell you.
Because VHS tapes cost $40 because that's what it was in the late 80s.
Mm.
Like you want a movie on home video format? You got to cough up a third of your paycheck, buddy. Nowadays, you walk into Walmart and they're like, here, please take a DVD. We've got this giant bin full of them and we don't know what to do with them.
Please. Somebody's buying them, so we're still selling them. I feel like you tried to land the plane about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but then we started talking about movie stuff and I'm interested in that.
Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. Oh, sign me up. Just kidding. I'm not.
I actually watched a video just the other night about how movie companies are kind of gunning for the end of home video formats. Like, I don't know if you saw, but recently Best Buy announced that they're going to stop carrying DVDs and Blu-rays in store.
No.
Yeah. Like, starting next year, you won't be able to walk into Best Buy and buy a DVD anymore.
Why?
Just,
to what end?
I don't know. It's one of the last things that I go to Best Buy for. So, sorry, Best Buy. I watched a video essay last night talking about how the movie industry, the entertainment industry, is hoping that it'll die. And all we're just completely dependent on that steady stream of the subscription to whatever their service is to watch the movies.
Well, I mean, the writers and the actors just had this big strike over the whole model not working for them. So that's why I'm kind of surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
You'd think that, like you say, like that's something that actually gets you into Best Buy. Like, that I figure if they've got you in Best Buy, that's an important step.
Yeah. So that's, well, I mean, that's the other part of it is they're talking about maybe it not dying completely, but instead they see like a future in which there's like some smaller companies that do like boutique collectors versions of movies that people are passionate about.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of the way a lot of things have become, where if something has some kind of a cult following, it gets a Kickstarter. Even if it's owned by a major company, for some reason there's a crowdfunding campaign to produce something these days. So
I saw a tweet the other day and I thought of you right away. Let's see if I can dig it up really. Oh yeah. Christopher Nolan says there's concern of content disappearing from streaming services. There's a danger these days that if things only exist in the streaming version and they do get taken down, they come and go. And then Guillermo del Toro said physical media is almost a Fahrenheit 451 where people memorized entire books and thus became the book they loved.
Yep.
Level of responsibility. If you own a great 4K HD, Blu-ray, DVD, et cetera, of a film or films you love, you are the custodian of those films for generations to come.
Well, I mean, think about how many movies we have from 100 years ago and then how many we don't. How many movies from 100 years ago are just completely lost to time? So it's interesting. I mean, like, look at the early days of Doctor Who. You know, there's entire seasons of that show that got taped over that nobody has access to at all. There is something to be said about preservation. Stuff produced in our lifetime can be lost to time, even in a world of ubiquitous storage and access to all kinds of stuff. Things are still getting lost.
Well,
should I leave all of this in?
Yes. Including this little discussion right here.
Wow.
But I think I need to go to bed.
Yeah, me too. I'm feeling it.
I'm glad you said it. Oh man, we went to a second audio track here.
Yeah.
We had said in our intro we were going to talk about football and nothing else, Iowa, but not completely true.
Right.
We found something.
Okay, folks. I just pulled out a folks. Hey, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us. If you have been here for all 9 years, I wish I could hug you through the podcast medium, but I can't. So just accept this virtual hug right now. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in the new year.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.